We're finishing series on new season, new identity, and I want to talk about the two words that basically took us over the edge. Never disconnected. Never disconnected. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Let me sum it up. Nothing. We're already set up daily. For your sake, Paul writes, we're killed all day long, like sheep to the slaughter. But knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
For I am sure.
Hallelujah.
One translation says, I'm convinced. Mm-hmm. Another translation says, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from his love. I'm a storyteller, so let me tell you a story.
All right.
It's hard some days to get up in front of people and attempt to put on a facade to make people feel better.
Amen. Come on,
bro. For you see, one of the telling marks of the life of the church is when the culture suggests that those that are in roles of leadership, specifically the pastor, have to stand and be, as we were taught in seminary at one point, which I think to a certain extent is part of the problem. We're taught that we are a representation or a place marker in flesh for Christ. And we are to represent Christ, strength, everything else, so on and so forth. But can I tell you the truth?
Tell the truth, Pastor. Tell the truth.
Everybody in here is a human being. A human being that at some point struggles. A human being that deals with the ebb and flow and changes of life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Human beings that deal with feelings of inadequacy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Human beings that at some point along the way have felt like quitting.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Giving in, giving up, throwing in the towel, and didn't want to hear from nobody anywhere. We are all in here as individuals who have faced challenges that we could not face by ourselves.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And what makes it worse sometimes is that we try to go to places, people, environments that ought to remind us of our divinity in God. That we are created in the image and likeness of God. That God took enough time to give us intellect and to give us creativity and all that kind of stuff. And yet,
sometimes,
life will tell us that we're inadequate.
Come on now, come on.
That what we offer is not good enough. Sometimes it'll go over the edge and try to tell you that all this stuff that you're doing for Christ is a waste of time.
Come on, Chris.
Y'all real silent, so I think I got your attention.
Yes, yes.
A lot of times people deal with the voices in their head, and I'm not talking about what may be the result of mental or emotional issues. I'm talking about the replays that we have of people that have been around us.
Yes.
That have told us at some point that we're not good enough.
Come on.
They've told us, you can't, you won't. We deal with the replays in our private time. When we should be asleep, but we cry too hard. We want to sleep. We want to rest, but the negativity won't let us rest. We get onset insomnia because we're dealing with the struggles of life. And it doesn't feel like anybody even cares. At some point, you can feel totally disconnected from God. People will be like some of those brothers that hung out with Job and try to tell him, you know, the reason you're in the mess you're in is y'all got them there in your phone. Once again, let me replay, because I've already said it once, I'll say it again. Those folk you said you were cutting off, you went on Facebook and lied about it, and they still in your phone. They still giving you bad advice. You hang out with them all the time. Matter of fact, if you hung out with them last night, you probably did. You went somewhere, you ate with them, and all they did was reinforce what they really think about you, and you accepted it. And it took everything in you to just come into the house of God. Let me go deeper. There are a lot of places that are called churches that don't welcome too many people in. That did everything they could just to get up in the morning and try to meet God there. I'm talking about people that literally start their days off with depression. Start their days off with PTSD. Start their days off with wondering if anybody will actually accept them for who they are. They get up in the morning knowing that when they walk out the door, somewhere along the line, somebody gonna reject them.
Yes, sir.
And they deal with it as best as they can. But they made up their mind to come to the house of God because something in them said that if I could get close to the Lord, something will change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But then they run into somebody. Negative as can be. Critiquing their outerwear. Critiquing their approach to life. Critiquing. And then suddenly, they ask themselves, who wants to serve a God like this? Disconnected. There's a statistic that's in my book and that's logged all the time, that 1,500 pastors a month quit.
Wow.
A month.
Come on.
That's on average. 1,500 pastors quit every month because they deal with foolishness. They feel inadequate.
Amen.
And people make them feel what they already feel.
Say it, Pastor.
People quit going to church, not because they don't love God, but they don't feel that they can actually bring their stuff to the Lord.
Come on, Doug. Come on.
So we got a whole generation of people. We got a whole group of people who are going to say stuff like, well, the organization of the church, you know, organized religion. Okay, you got some validity. I'm intelligent enough to know that there are some things in the organized church that we need to change.
Yes, sir.
And there are some things that in organized religion needs to adjust.
Yes, sir.
And the first thing that needs to adjust is that we go back to what God said in the first place.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People feel disconnected from the one entity that actually loves them, and that's God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
But we need to change that narrative. And how do you change a narrative that seems to be ingrained in the minds of people?
Yes.
You go back to the person that wrote this particular text that we're talking about. Here's a guy, Paul, who first would write later about how he was the biggest sinner around. He was the biggest blasphemer around. And Gramps, if I'm right about this, when he wrote in that way, he was admitting his own ignorance about who Christ really was. We know that it wasn't until he met Christ on the road, lost his physical sight, that he gained spiritual sight.
Amen. Amen.
And when he gained spiritual sight, he learned that everything he thought he was doing right was doing nothing more than persecuting folk that finally had a revelation of who God really was.
Yes, sir.
So when he writes from a place of no longer being ignorant and actually working through some actual internal issues.
All right, now.
Think about this. When he writes, don't you think he's thinking about his own experience?
Right. That's right.
Don't you think he's thinking about how he persecuted Christians in the beginnings of this thing and would actually go around and actually get legal documents to try to scatter those that believed in Christ? Remember, he was on his way to execute a legal document.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
To persecute more people. And Jesus literally stopped him in his tracks.
Yes, he did.
So when he writes, I can imagine him saying, when he gets to his own question, who can separate us
Hallelujah.
From the love of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That he's remembering that when he was trying to separate people from the active participation of their faith, Christ stopped them in his tracks.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that at moments when he felt like he was all by himself, when he was now changed.
Yes.
Because remember, even the apostles didn't accept him. They said, how are you going to go around preaching when you were just trying to kill him? Come on, let's talk for real.
Yeah.
Doubt probably seeped into his mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, let me bring it up, bring y'all on in here because I'm about to lose some of y'all because y'all. Remember when you first came to Jesus, you said, I love the Lord and everything like that. And the first thing that happened when you went on out, you had some folk that were happy, but you had a whole lot of folk that said, oh, now you want to be different?
All right.
Come on.
Okay, let me be more current. Some of y'all may have fallen by the wayside and you've come back to be more focused. And now people are looking at you and saying, why are you brand new? You weren't going to church like that, all like that. You've been hanging out with me doing this, doing that. And they try to question everything about who you are. And then you go through a low moment in your life. And then not only do you allow them to question, but you begin to question. God, did you leave me? When illness hits my house, when sickness hits my house, when my money becomes funny, my change becomes strange, everything around me seems to be closing in, and all of a sudden, Lord, did you leave? How many of y'all actually have asked that question?
Come on, God.
When I came back, I asked God after being rejected, did you fire me? Oh, you laughing? No, I'm being honest. I got to a place in my life where I didn't know if I would ever pastor again. I got to a place where I felt, man, I don't know if anybody's going to ever ask me to say a word for God on his behalf ever again. Because folks said I didn't look the part. People say I didn't look the part. Let me repeat it one more time. Not about my gift, not about my skill set, none of that. They said I didn't look the part. There's a whole lot of people in here that have the same testimony. You got rejected on sight. Not because of your gift, not because of your talent, but they looked at you and said, we can't have you.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on now.
Come on.
Come on now.
And you began saying, did you leave me?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Paul says, what can separate you from the love of God?
Hallelujah.
And he writes. And the bottom line is nothing.
Nothing.
There ain't a thing in the world that can do it. I don't care where your past is or whatever. Nothing. I don't care what people said about you or what they continue to try to say about you. Nothing. I don't care how your money looks today. Nothing. I don't care how your job situation looks. Nothing. I don't care how your kids are acting or anything else. Nothing. I don't care about your dreams or your aspirations being put on ice. Nothing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But everybody doesn't believe it. So I want to help you. I want to help you get reconnected. God never disconnected from us. But sometimes we disconnect from it, God. So let me help you out so you can get through this week. Let's start there. Let's get through this week, shall we?
Amen. Amen.
No, let me make it even simpler. Let's get through the rest of this day. Take these three things with you. To embrace being connected to God, you need three things to remember and to recognize. One, you got to recognize the reach of God's love. The reach of God's love extends beyond anything you can come up with. I should move on to point two. Someone caught it. It extends beyond anything that you can come up with. Can I tell them now?
Tell it.
You good now?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Gotcha.
I want to make sure that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
So, stand up. There was a season. Preaching, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, sir.
Call of God.
Yes, sir.
Didn't want to be bothered with nobody. Didn't want anything to happen because life hit.
Mm.
And life hit so much
yes.
that you felt distant.
Yes, sir.
And the distance kept getting greater.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you didn't love God, but things
yes.
kept getting in the way.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. People, job circumstances.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Opinions,
mm.
depression.
Yes.
Heartache.
Yes, sir.
Heartbreak.
Come on.
And it felt further and further away. See, some of y'all think you know Brother Fred because of what you hear coming out of his voice, but you don't know the testimony behind the voice.
Amen.
And I'm not just his pastor, he's my friend. That's why I asked about a million times. I hadn't talked to my brother in years. I ain't know nothing. I ain't know nothing. We had a conversation, and all I said was this. Hey, man. After the concert, hey man, I'm over at Wesley Church of Hope, and I hope at some point, just decide to come on through. Not because I'm the pastor, you just my boy. I just want to lay eyes on you. I don't care, you don't shout, I didn't ask you to say, nothing. See, I've known all this stuff, but y'all didn't know.
Didn't know, right, that's right, Pastor.
It was a conversation talking about nothing. We weren't talking about any deep stuff.
Right.
We hadn't laid eyes on each other in years.
That's right. That's right.
And I believe to this day that God appointed a simple moment.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He appointed a simple moment to pull everything back together again and making up the distance that felt like it was there to bring about a reminder that God's love didn't change. You see, it's easy to feel distant. Not because of you, but because life will cause you sometimes to look at everything happening in the moment and forgetting about the promise.
Yeah.
The promise is, I will never leave you.
Amen.
The promise is, I won't forsake you. The promise is, I'm not going to leave your side. So even if I feel like I'm at a distance, God still says, I'm still present. I'm here. All I need you to do is know that I'm here. Because if you know that I'm here, I will make up the distance and let you feel that I'm here. So think about this for a minute. I need to know that God loves me when I'm going through hell and high water. Guess what? Sometimes God will do whatever it takes to make up the distance that I feel. Sometimes it's a phone call from somebody I ain't heard from in a long time. Sometimes it's somebody just saying, you know what? I'm praying for you. Sometimes it's just somebody looking at you, squaring the face and saying, God still loves you. God still cares. God is still on the throne. Sometimes it's not even speaking. Sometimes it's just sitting there with you, letting you know that God will keep you. Who can separate me from his love? Nothing. But number two, you need to know the power of his blood. Look at the text. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do you know how powerful the death? I'm not even getting to the resurrection. The death of Jesus is? Don't wait until Easter. Catch it now. Do you know how powerful the death of Jesus really is? Somebody stepping in your place, taking your punishment, your way, everything.
That's right.
Took a beat down.
Yes.
Before hanging from the cross for 6 hours.
Mercy.
And all it took was one drop of blood to save you. Some of us get mad over a paper cut. I know I do. When that paper cut happens, it hurts. And then we see, it may not bleed initially, but we see just a little bit of blood. Now imagine, Christ went through agony, and all it took was possibly the amount of a drop of blood from a paper cut to save you. He took on my brokenness that I might have life. He took on what life was doing to me by taking the lashes.
Yes.
Have you ever felt like life was whooping you?
Yes.
Come on. Have you ever felt like things were just beating you down till your life was leaving you?
Yes.
He took it all. Have you ever felt like somebody was trying to destroy your existence in public?
Yes.
Embarrass you?
Yes, sir.
He took it all.
Yes, Lord.
But then he did come down from the cross and was placed in a grave. Only to get up and prove that even the most heinous execution in the history of the world couldn't keep him down.
Amen. Amen.
And you're covered by the blood that was shed at that execution, which means that the power that's in it ought to let you know that no matter what life may do to you, can I tell you the truth? You're covered by a blood that has life in it, which means it's got resurrection power, which means that while you're going through it, guess what? Eventually, you're going to get up. There's a promise that you will get up.
Yes, sir.
Because I died with him, and guess what? I'll what? Rise with him. So what you're going through right now is not the end of your story. It's just the beginning of your shout.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's why I can say there's power,
power,
wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. I don't have to stay here. His blood gives me what? The power to get up and face what I got to face. But there's one more thing. You got to understand and recognize the ineptitude of the temporary. The ineptitude of the temporary. Look at this. Let me read it from a different version. Who would even dare to point a finger? The one who died for us, who is raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. This is what we face every day. But guess what? I love the way Eugene Peterson wrote it. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. Can I say that again? None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. Now look at all this stuff they're saying. All this stuff is temporary. Can I tell you the truth? When you go and you're going to go and eat something today, it's going to be temporary. You know why? Because once it goes in your mouth, you're going to chew it up. It's going to go into your stomach. It's going to be digested. And guess what? It's going to come out differently than it went in. Temporary. It's going to do what it needs to do. And guess what? It's going to be temporary. Your style of dress, guess what? It's temporary. Because if it was permanent, you'd be still wearing the same thing you wore 40 years ago. Everything changes. I don't care what you go through. You're going to deal with people that are going to talk about you. Yes, that's a regular thing. The only thing different is who may do it and why they may do it. Things are temporary. The things that we deal with in this world are temporary. And guess what? And if we're going to go ahead and just put it all out there, we saw a shutdown of a government for over 30 days. And even though it only lasted 30-something days, it was still temporary. Even for somebody that said, I don't care what I got to do, I'm going to keep it shut down. He couldn't keep it shut down. Temporary. I don't care what you're dealing with in this life. It's only temporary. The people that you're around is only temporary. The people that discount you, it's only temporary. What you're dealing with in your life is only temporary. Because on the other side of your trouble and on the other side of your issues and the only other side of your trials, there's still joy on the other side. There's blessing on the other side. There's healing on the other side. There's deliverance on the other side. There's provision on the other side. So you ought to be able to shout today and be grateful that God has already said this moment right here is only going to last for so long. I think it's better said a different way. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And when joy comes in the morning, I'm not waiting until the sun rises. I'm going to shout while it's still dark outside at 12:01 a.m. and raise all kinds of stuff and let the world know that I am victorious. The Bible says that I am more than a conqueror for him that loves me. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in creation shall be able to keep me separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is there anybody here right now that can shout right now about what's yet to come? It's only temporary, baby. You ought to shout now because the best is yet to come. Somebody say,